Of Matthew chapter 6, if you read through the the Gospels, you won't find any record of them ever asking Jesus to teach them how to preach. But you will find a record of them coming to him and asking him to teach them how to pray. And I have been focusing on this particular passage of Scripture for some weeks now, even before I was started teaching on it. This is the third week we've taught on it. And but Jesus said in verse 9, Matthew 6, 9, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, one of the things that struck me as I went into this study, and it's one of those things where you've been reading a passage of Scripture for years, but something just kind of strikes you differently. And what began to strike me differently as I was going through this passage of Scripture was how that there was so much of praise and adoration, or an acknowledgement of what and who God is and what He does, as well as a petition for things. And it's interesting that at the very beginning of this prayer, this model, this certainly not a prayer that we should memorize, but a model that we should fashion our praying after, is begins with praise. Everybody say praise.
Praise.
Praise means you're getting your focus off of yourself on God. Praise means you get yourself off of your problem over to God's solution. Oftentimes we are so locked into our problem that we seldom take the same amount of time to give thanks to God for who He is that we do to recognize that we've got a problem. And it's not that we, you know, blind our eyes to the negative and say, well, everything is okay. When everything isn't okay, that's why we go to the Father. And acknowledging that things aren't okay doesn't mean you're living in sin or walking in doubt and unbelief. It's like Dr. Ed Cole said many years ago that really kind of helped fashion some thinking for me, is I was going through a time in my ministry where emphasize the positive, confess the positive word. And he made the comment one time, he said, you need to realize that our lives are just like a battery. Battery has a positive post, has a negative post. And he says, what you do is you confess out the negative and confess in the positive. I thought I made a good point, that we don't confess the negative because that's what we want. We confess the negative because we acknowledge that we've got a problem. Hello? You ever heard this phrase? Houston, we've got a problem. They didn't close their eyes to it. Everything got adjusted to deal with the problem. So we need to realize that as believers, we got to be honest and open to the fact that when you got a problem, you got a problem. Hello? And I'm not talking about the person you're married to. We're talking about issues that take place in life. Negative things do happen to positive thinking people. But just simply positive thinking, positive things, doesn't make the negative go away. Sometimes you've got to deal with the negative. Sometimes you've got to deal with a strategy and put a strategy in place to remove the negative. But sometimes there are negatives that you have no control over. And what you have to do is say, okay, Father, I'm taking this negative and I'm putting it in front of you. I'm saying, I thank you that you know it, But I'm going to start confessing the positive to deal with the negative. Are we hearing what I'm saying? Now, we talked last week about our Father. Jesus begins by talking about our Father. And I love talking about fatherhood. I enjoy being a father. I've had a lot of fun for these many years being a father. And it's been a blessing. And your kids don't always do what you want, but you love them anyway. And you're still a father. One of the things I've found enjoyable is when I'm around my kids is that the honor that they give me, that I'm special to them, and that I mean an awful lot to my kids. And of course, it's mutual, but there's an affirmation that you experience when people that you're around express your value to them. And I enjoy being a father, but I really enjoy, and let me add here, over the years when I've talked about family issues, family ministry, teaching on the family, inevitably I'll have someone come up and tell me what a lousy father they had. Their father did this and their father did that. And not bringing that up doesn't make it go away. But I want you to understand something, that your father is not the same class as your earthly father. And don't allow, I just don't deal very well with this father thing because I had a lousy father. Let me tell you something, folks. Fathers aren't perfect. Have you discovered that fathers aren't perfect? Larry, not perfect, are you? I'm certainly not perfect, okay? But by the same token, kids aren't perfect either. And the reason why kids aren't perfect... What was that? And of course, the reason why our kids aren't perfect is because we raised them. So, quit fighting, you two. They're over here fighting. Anyway, but what I'm saying is that your Father in heaven, think about this now, is there a more perfect Father than the one we have in heaven? Can't find one anywhere. Are his kids perfect? Absolutely not. So we need to understand then that if your kids don't walk with God, doesn't mean that you're a failure as a father. But you never quit giving influence to them to encourage them to make quality change. All right? But last week we talked about the importance of God our Father. The fact that He loves us. The fact that He wants us to understand our value is what He confers upon us. Our value with Him is not based on what we do, not based on who we are. In terms of our ethnic background or our money or our lack of it or our position in life. He confers upon us value because He loves us. Everybody say, my Father loves me. When I'm out at the regional center ministering, I will say, everybody do your finger exercise. And as soon as I say that, they know what's coming. Put your finger up. Father in heaven, I'm looking for someone that needs to be loved. I'd be that one. And your Father loves you. And your Father doesn't beat you up when you blow it. He loves you because you're special. Amen? Today I want to talk about the name. I love talking about the name of the Lord. Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven, your name is holy. Now that says something completely different to us as Western inhabitants of the Western Hemisphere having been fashioned by how we live in this culture of ours. And even those of us in the church, we don't even identify with what Jesus was saying. Jesus was telling those people that were listening to him, even though you don't identify with God as a father, I'm telling you, he is. And to them, he was talking a foreign language to them when he said, our Father. Now, Jesus then, one of the criticisms that they gave him was, because he called God his Father, that made him God. And that's not what he was saying, though it was true. He was God. But Jesus was trying to teach the people that he was ministering to that a father accepts his children for who they are, not for what they do. And when the church grabs a hold of that simple truth, then we break free from this captive, controlling process that we gotta do things in order to be loved by the Father. You're loved by the Father because you breathe. You're loved by the Father because you are made in such a way that you are potentially, and for those of us who are here this morning, we have become that. We are literally the host of the Holy Spirit. God himself moves on the inside of us. We're just not anybody. We are literally, we are the habitation of the Holy Spirit. And when you think that through, here's this awesome, perfect, unapproachable God that cannot even be understood or comprehended by our finite minds, says simply by accepting his provision of salvation, he moves on the inside of us. That is an awesome truth. And it doesn't sink into us because we're driven to perform. And what he says is, I want you to get free from this performance mentality. Understand that I have gathered you into my heart and you are my child. And so when you say, Father, which is in heaven, you are hallowed be your name, you are saying, Father God, I declare that you are an awesome God who loves me for who I am, not for what I do. Now, Jewish people did not understand this whole concept of the name of God. Did not understand it. Over the generations, they would not call God Jehovah. They wouldn't even speak the word. They wouldn't even write it. What they did is they developed what is called a tetragrammaton. A tetra, which means four, and grammaton, which means grammar. And they would take the name Jehovah, J-E-H-O-V-A-H, and take out the vowels. And so what they had then was the term J-H-V-H. Now that's called a tetragrammaton. Now you can't pronounce it because the vowels aren't in it. And what they developed then was another phrase called Adonai, which means Lord. And so that became the common phrase that they would use to apply to Jehovah God. And then eventually over the generations, that came to not disuse, but another word, Yahweh, came up. And Yahweh was another product of a tetragrammaton. Take out the vowels, and you've got the consonants YHWH. And those two tetragrammatons became synonymous with the mindset of Jewish people. You can't breathe the name of God because if you use it in vain or don't say it right, they believed that if they wrote it out on a piece of paper and someone else came along and tore that up or in any way desecrated, they could be guilty of using the name of God in vain. So rather than enjoy the loving relationship that Jehovah God wanted to have with them, They kept distinct and separate from God, unable to use his name. And when they used anything that related to his name, it was foreign to who he was. And they got buried in all of the mechanics of trying to run to God and failing to realize that he was standing there with open arms wanting them to run to him as a loving father. So Jesus comes on the scene. And he's walking in the middle of this mindset, and he is saying to them, "Hey, I'm going to tell you how to talk to Jehovah God. Call him Father." Ooh, he blew their theology right out of the water. They couldn't stand it. They felt that if they started talking to Jehovah God as Father, then they were elevating themselves to the place that God had already elevated them to. It's terrible when you don't want to accept who you are. You're just not anybody. You're the redeemed of the Lord. You guys go to the store every week, and what do? You either put down money or a credit card to buy some product, don't you? Right? Now think about this for a moment. At that moment of transaction, that product you are buying is equal value to either the card or the money you're putting down. Isn't that profound? Business 101. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when we were in sin, we became a slave to sin. And the only way to get out of sin was to be purchased by somebody. Think about this now. And so what would happen is some guy would go down to the slave market and he would put money down and buy a slave out of the slave market. For that moment of transaction, the money he put down was equal value to the slave. Folks, you were in the slave market of sin. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. God used him to buy you out of sin. The Father sees you and Jesus on the same basis. You are the redeemed of the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from every sin. You've been covered by robes of righteousness. You have access to the very presence of God. You walk into the kingdom, into the presence of God, and say, "Father," he says, "come on up here, son, and sit in my lap. Come on up here, daughter, and sit in my lap." He says, "If you'll come and separate yourself from the things of the world," he says, "I'll gather you unto myself, and I will love you as my very own child." He says, "Jesus, here is your brother. Jesus, here is your sister." The scripture says God did not consider it a difficult thing to call us the brothers of Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah! You are the family of God today. The family of God. You're not just a Christian. You are a child of God. You're related to Jesus. He's your brother. And we and Jesus have one Father. His name is Father God. Hallelujah. Our Father. Our Father. Our Father. Now the word Jehovah, as I've said many times, comes from two Hebrew words, Jah, which means the self-existent one who needs no outside assistance to exist. Hova mean one who is continually becoming. I discovered recently, I was doing some research on a Jewish teacher who is Jewish. He's not a Christian, he's Jewish. And he was saying in his writings that when Abraham, or when Moses saw the burning bush, and God says, "I am that I am," what he was really saying is, "I am becoming what I am becoming." In other words, they saw Jehovah God as becoming something more than just a name. We need to understand that Jesus is becoming more than just a Savior to us. He's becoming a healer. He's becoming wisdom. He's becoming righteousness. He's becoming strength. He's becoming a strategy for victory. In other words, Jesus, he's not static. He's becoming, it's really, he's revealing himself in a tangible way more and more. And that's why your relationship with the Lord is better now than it was the day you got born again. Hopefully, anyway. If it's not, you need to go back and get another dip. As my mother used to say. Oh, hear what I'm saying here? I know you can't help but hear it. I just want you to get it. Now, when we look at Jesus then, we need to see that this process of God becoming more understandable and more tangible, that all took place in the person of Jesus. Jesus then was the revelation of Jehovah. He still is the revelation of Jehovah God. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're just remembering, then remember this. This is something I think the Lord dropped in my heart last night as I was meditating on this. But the name carries the weight of the person it identifies. The name carries the weight of the person that it identifies. We use names all the time, don't we? Rockefeller, Kennedy, Cadillac. Where's Mike? We use names, and those names envision something of value. And if the name has great value to it, then the name carries weight with us. And we need to understand that Jesus said, your name is holy. Your name is set apart and set above the normal name. And so when we look at the name of Jesus, we need to understand then, or the name of the Father, we need to understand that He imparted to us, if you will, the same power to the name of Jesus that was in the name Father. It's a name that is literally filled with all of the resources that belong to who the name identifies. He says, hallowed be, your name is holy. Your name is not just any name, but your name is above every other name. And it means that it carries more weight than any other name. And we as believers have been given the right to use that name as our own. We don't have to say, Father, Jesus said this, so can I have that? No, you can simply say, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare your word is causing such and such a thing to happen. You see, we always keep the honor going to God. We don't walk in some... I read an article this week, or part of an article this week, then I quit reading because I got tired of it. And that is that we don't pray for the sick anymore. We just heal the sick. I thought, I just wish we could maintain an attitude of humility between us and the Father. Because we don't walk around this world thinking we're in charge. Remember, we're the servants of the Most High God. We're carrying out His plan, not our own. Hello? And when we lay hands on the sick to pray for them, to see them healed, we're not doing it in our strength. We're doing it in His strength. We're not doing it in our power. We're doing it in His power. We're not doing it in our name. We're doing it in His name. And Jesus said that when we go to the Father through the name of Jesus, whatever we ask of Him, He will do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. See, when we look at life and the issues that are out in front of us, if we're not smart enough to know that everything that's out in front of us is greater than we are, then, you know, you need some help. Okay? But you can know for certain that on day one, when you approach whatever issue you're facing, that problem may be bigger than you, but it's not bigger than the God who's on the inside of you. And the God that's on the inside of you can be released outwardly, externally, through the words that you speak from your mouth. And you know, the devil doesn't have as much power as we think he does. How many, looking back on it now, obviously, I don't know what you thought the day you got born again, but looking back on it now, how many of you can recognize that that when you got born again, when you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the devil didn't have the power to keep you from getting saved? He couldn't do it. He didn't have the power. Isn't that awesome? I mean, if he would have had the power to keep you from getting saved, you never know whether or not you got saved. Every time you thought you got saved, the devil would be right there trying to convince you that you weren't. Everybody say, that's profound. What I'm saying to you is, when we obey the scripture, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you say those words with your mouth, according to the scripture, you get born again. Now, do you think the devil hears you when you say that? Sure he does. And you think he can do anything about it? No, he can't. Look at somebody and say, he can't do anything to keep me from getting born again. He can't do it. He didn't have the power. Are we hearing what I'm saying here? Now, here are some scriptures that Jesus gave us, giving us the right to use the name to bring about the will of God in the midst of your life. Mark 16, 17 and 18 says, and these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name they shall drive out demons. They shall speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well. In whose name? The name of Jesus. John 16, Jesus says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask. My Father will give you whatever you ask. My Father will give you, he didn't say it that many times, in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Asking you will receive, and your joy will be complete. In John 14, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 15 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I like this. Philippians 2 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians 1 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Now, I've just read, this is what Jesus is hoping for us, that we'll use the name of Jesus and see things happen in our lives that are in agreement with his word. God is not interested in you die of sickness. He's not interested in you die of poverty. He's not interested in you have your marriages break up. He's not interested in anything going on in your life that is contrary to the word of the living God. His plan for you is that you will walk your world just like Jesus walked his. And in the same way that he walked in authority in his world, he wants you and me to walk in authority through his name in our world. We're not walking because of how special we are. We're walking because of how special he is on the inside of us. He says he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, to which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The same power that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead, he inserted that same resurrection power on the inside of your life. It's resident in the person of Jesus Christ, is resident in the person of the Holy Spirit, and when you take the word of the living God and you open up your mouth and you speak it forth, it's the same as Jesus standing in your shoes saying the same thing you're saying and anticipating the same thing that he received. Hallelujah. He said, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. Jesus has been placed above every ruling level of every demon spirit, every strong man, every power of the devil and the face of the earth. Anywhere you say it, he's greater. Hallelujah. And he says that every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Hallelujah. And God placed all things under his feet. And God placed all things under his feet. You think he's talking about the feet that are in heaven? No, he's talking about the feet that are right here. We are the body of Christ. We are the feet of the body of Christ. That means that everything that has a name has been placed beneath our feet. Hallelujah. You can stop and say, devil, here's some soul food. Read this, buddy. Hallelujah. He said God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. He's the head. We're the body. The feet are not in the head. The feet are in the body. The head's up there in the heavenlies. The body's here in the earth. We are the body of Christ. We've been called to function in this world just like Jesus did. He empowered us through his Holy Spirit and says, the things that I've done shall you do also. Hallelujah. So it says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Yeah. You're not just some echo chamber, buddy. I want you to know something. You've been filled with the very person of the living God. Paul says in Colossians that we have been filled. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Jesus Christ, and the fullness of Jesus has filled us to the full. See, you don't have to go run. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to get victory over the devil. Devil ain't going to be there. But you've been given victory over him now. In this world. And what we need to begin recognizing and practicing far more than what we do is say, okay, you know what, Father? This thing should not be in agreement. This thing is not in agreement with your word. It should not exist as it does. Now, I'm not going to say, okay, bless God, then if you don't talk about it, it means it doesn't exist. Now, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm going to confess what the word of God says over what I see. I'm going to look at it and say, Lord, there's a problem. But Father, here's a solution. Your solution says that the power in your word is greater than the power in that set of circumstances. And I'm declaring in Jesus' name, I'm not going to be ruled by that anymore. That's all I'm saying. What's this phrase, just saying? I'm just saying. So I want to conclude this morning with one of my favorite scriptures. I got a lot of favorite scriptures. Have you noticed that? But I guess my favorite scripture is the one that I'm quoting related to what I'm talking about. But David was just an awesome man of God. Just an awesome man of God. And he had been promised. And this is where I think the church is. Okay, I really think the church is. This is in Psalm 22. We've been appointed to authority. We've been appointed to rule in life. Romans 5:17 or 5:19, one of the two, says that we have been programmed by God, Psalm to paraphrase, to rule or to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, obviously, you know, if you go to England, where they still have a monarchy, and if the king wants something or the queen wants something, what happens? They get it. I heard Merrill Hickey say one year that the word king is from its etymology, from its origins, literally used to mean the king is a can-do person. The reason why king's a can-do person, because everybody in the domain will do whatever he wants or she wants so that he or she can get what she wants. Hello? All right? But every one of us, and I've been preaching this stuff for years, and I've been listening to it for years, that we have authority. Adam and Eve lost the authority that was given to them in the garden. That authority, he said, you are programmed to rule over the domain of God's creation. But they gave it up. And we got sucked into this rotten living under authority of sin. Jesus came and broke the curse of sin, all right? And he restored the lost authority to the church. Remember, he said in John 17, he says, Father, the glory that I had with you from before the world was, I have given to the church. I was praying this morning, or no, I guess I was praying last night. I say, Lord, the glory that we're supposed to walk in, where's it at? Hey, folks, it's okay to talk to God from gut level stuff because he's not going to fall off his throne. But if he gave his glory to the church, I want to see it. Now, the word glory in the Greek is doxa, which means a display of the divine characteristics and attributes of God. I am wanting to see a display of the divine characteristics and attributes of God. Everywhere I go, I want to see God manifest in some way. And when I don't see it, I don't like it. I don't like praying for people not having anything happen that I want. And I don't believe that I ought to be satisfied to pray for people, say, all right, go ahead and confess the word until you get it. Jesus never did that. You won't find any place where Jesus says, oh, well, there's some reason why you didn't get it today, but you just move on, keep confessing the word, and eventually it'll manifest. Can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus did that. The Bible says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And so, the reason why I like David so well, because I see myself as David. I see you as David. I see the church as David. We're praisers. We like to worship God, right? Okay. But David was anointed. Oh, that's another word. See, we're anointed too. Amen? Every one of us are anointed. Not just me, it's us. We-ins. Okay, usins. Is that a word, usins? Okay. But he was anointed to be the king of Israel. But Saul was on the throne. Saul's a picture of the human energy and component of get it done, do it yourself kind of thing. He's a picture of disobedience and carnality. Saul's a picture of everything we don't want to have in our lives. Okay? And David was just the opposite. He was a shepherd boy. He was a praiser. He loved God. He worshiped God. And he was the least likely to become the next king. Remember when Samuel went to anoint him? He said, Jesse, bring your kids in here. He brought the biggest one. He brought the next one. He brought the next one. He brought the next one. And Samuel said, well, this has got to be it. Nope. Got it. Kept going. He says, man, alive. I knew I was supposed to come down to anoint one of your sons to be the king. You got any other boy? Yeah, I got some runt out there in the pasture, whatever. Anyway, out there with the sheep. And he says, well, bring him in here. And when Samuel looked at him, the psalmist paraphrased, the psalmist says, oh, dear God, you don't mean him. I mean, he was ruddy complexion. He was a runt. He was the smallest one. You know those big, what do you call it, a bunch of babies that dogs have? What do you call it? Litter. He was the runt of the litter. You know what that word means, right? And so he stands and says, Jesse says, all right, David, this is the prophet of God. Oh, hi, Samuel. What's going on, man? Let me tell you, I've been really having a time out there with the Lord. Well, I've been worshiping God. Man, it's been awesome. And I've discovered that he's my shepherd. And I have no lack of anything. And though I may walk in the face of death, I don't fear. And he leads me beside still waters. And he feeds me on the inner person. And I know one day I'm going to dwell with him forever. Yes, I like that. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. Trying to be cool here. But this stuff gets out of sight of me. It's like a burn. I just can't. Have you ever touched an iron that's hot? Oh. No, you jump all over the place, don't you? Anyway, he says, what's going on here? You're going to be the next king of Israel. Well, that fits. I can buy that. And so he anointed him. Poured oil all over him. And, you know, we're so polite. Let's just anoint this one with oil. Out of a little bottle, we just get a little bit in our finger, and we go like this, and hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. They didn't do that. They just opened up the horn of oil, and they just poured it on. You knew you'd been anointed when you got anointed by those guys. I saw Benny Hinn do that one time. I thought, oh, what a mess. He took the whole bowl and just threw it on somebody. I thought, ugh. Another time I saw him taking it and just whipping his hands like this and just touching everybody. Cha, 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 cha. I said, I'm dignified. I'd never do that. Anyway, and so David says, this is cool. Man, I just fits. I just know it's right. And so Samuel takes off. And 2 days later, David's sitting on the throne of Israel. No. It took almost 20 years, something like 16, 17 years before he got up there on the throne. Yet the whole time he was destined, anointed, and given the authority to be the king of Israel. And yet he was out there all over the place, out in the field, out in the country, out in the mountains. I went and saw the caves that he hid in when he was running from Saul. I saw those things, and there's nothing nice about them. They're just holes in the mountainside. I walked away shaking my head thinking, man. But finally he got put on the throne. And of course you know the history. Became the greatest king of Israel. But David, in the midst of this time, in Psalm 22, says, God, nothing's working right. It ain't happening like it's supposed to, God. I've cried all night long. I've just echoed out to you that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be king, and I'm out here in a cave. But he says, you're holy. You're holy. Wow. When you come to terms with the fact that he's a holy God, that means there's no room for accusation. There's no room to find any fault. God, why did this happen? That question never comes out of your mouth when you understand that he's holy. Bad things happen in life, but it's not God. You live in a bad world with a bad devil, bad garbage. Don't blame God. He says you are a holy God. When I read that one day and that just dawned on me, all of a sudden it helped me to understand why he could put up with what he put up with and eventually get where the outcomes in his life, because he determined in his own heart he was going to define God as a holy God without any room for accusation. You never have to blame God for anything negative, because God is not a negative God. He's a positive God. Hallelujah. Then he says, you inhabit the praises of God's people. Now, I've said this many times, but it's so important. The word inhabit doesn't mean just to show up because he's an egomaniac. It's the word inhabit means to establish as a foundation upon which to judge and upon which to rule. So in other words, David is saying, I've been gut level honest with you, God, about all the garbage, but I'm saying, Lord, it's not your fault. I'm not blaming you. Now listen. I've been anointed to be the king of Israel. I've been anointed to sit on the throne of Israel. But God, it's not your fault. See, we need to quit blaming God for why prayers haven't been answered the way we want. Don't blame God, because you can't blame him, because there's no fault in him. Never, under any circumstances, is there ever any fault with God. He's a holy God. No room for sin. No room for failure. No room for accusation. But he says, I'm going to praise you, God, because I know that when I praise you, you descend in the middle of my situation and you begin to rule as king. And what David saw there was that even though he was destined to sit upon the throne of Israel, God was king. See, when you embrace the simple truth that God is king, and whatever happens is God's problem, not yours. Whatever goes on is God's solution, not yours. God is not accountable to you or to me for whatever he does. He's God. Thank you, God, that you're God, and you don't need my approval. But I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. So this is what I see as the church, that we've been anointed to rule, and most of us have got stuff going on in our lives where we don't. Things aren't changing as quickly as they should. Seem like we're putting up with just garbage forever and ever and ever. And we get connected with the garbage rather than the fact that he's God. He's God. Our Father which art in heaven, your name is holy. Because your name is holy, no room for accusation. I want to praise you, I'm going to praise you, and I'll keep on praising you, and at some point in time, God's going to break through your situation, and he's going to turn it around. But until he turns it around, I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep thanking him. I'm going to keep rejoicing that he is Lord. I'm going to keep declaring that he is king. I'm going to keep declaring that he is the overcoming God that is causing my life to be an overcoming life. And until I have no more breath, I'm going to keep praising God. And if things don't happen the way I like, doesn't mean I won't get frustrated. It just means I'm going to take my frustration and slap myself in the face and start praising God. Are you what I'm saying? Praising God. Praising God. Let's do the chorus in closing today. Praise the name of Jesus, can we? And what I want you to do is I want you to take whatever situation that's in your life. How many have some ongoing situations in your life that just seems like they've been going on forever? All right? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is Lord. I said He's Lord. And we can't change it. But thank God He can. What can change is my attitude. What can change is my perspective. What can change is what comes out my mouth. That's what can change. I can't change God, but I can change Solomon. I can change what Solomon says. I can change how Solomon responds to what is going on. I can change that. I can't change the problem, and I can't change God, but I can change me. And I can declare, I thank you, Father, you're Lord. Say it with me, Father, I thank you that you are Lord. I'm going to establish a foundation for you to rest, for your throne to sit upon, for you to rule in Jesus' name. Let's do one we've never done before around here. Praise the name of Jesus. Did I already say that? Okay, well, let's do that one then. Let's all stand. Thank you. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You're my rock and you're my fortress. You're my deliverer. In you will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it again. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You're my rock and you're my fortress. You're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, sing it again. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, you're my rock. You're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, we got to do that again, but you got to come down here. Come on. Come on down here. Let's make a stand. We're going to stand at the altar. We're going to declare that at the altar, God's going to manifest His power, His presence, His glory. Oh, come on, sing it. You're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Sing it again. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You're my rock and you're my fortress. You're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Of Jesus, oh, we praise your name, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You're my rock and you're my fortress.
Jesus,
you're mine. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. You're my fortress, you're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Praise the name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're my rock, and you're my fortress, you're my deliverer. Hallelujah! We praise you, Lord! We praise you, Lord! We praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Father! Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus! Come on, tell him, Lord, we love you! We praise you! We glorify you! We magnify you! We proclaim you as Lord over all things, Heavenly Father! Hallelujah!
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We raise up your name above every name. Every sickness, every disease, every problem, every situation has to bow to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus over all things in my life. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, oh, we magnify your name this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mola batala baka bala batala baka. Mala bili baba. Mala bili baba. Mala bili baba. Mala bili baba. Yetele baka teki baba. Mala bili baba. Mala bili baba. Baka ki baka teki baba. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You've got the interpretation. You've got the interpretation. Give it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
My children.
I desire to reveal myself to you.
Yes.
More than you desire to see me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
You need to remove yourselves out of the way. I want to give you all things. Please wait on me.
Thank you, Lord.
Wait on me, says the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we wait on you. We stand in your presence, Father. We stand in your presence, O God. Renew us on the inside, Father. Change our hearts, Lord, so that we'll step out of the way and give you the freedom to act. Give you the freedom, Lord God, to do what your word says you can do. Holy Spirit, we praise you. We praise you, Father. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to make a promise, not to me, but to the Father, that from now on, we're going to quit complaining. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I make a commitment to quit complaining about what's happening, what's going wrong, what shouldn't be, in Jesus' name. I ask you to change my attitude, change my heart, make me a praiser like I've never been before, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to make a commitment to do that. I want you to join somebody's hand. I want you to agree with them. Handshake in our culture means we agree. We agree with somebody. I want you to agree that you're going to be a praiser, and that you're going to step back and not interfere with God, and let him come down and set up his throne of authority in the midst of what you're dealing with, and then he's going to work out the issue. Can we do that? Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you right now to touch me on the inside like I've never been touched before. I ask you to give me such a clear insight to the value of praising you and worshiping you and exalting your name above every name, and trusting you that you're going to work out what I cannot. I'm going to roll it over on you, Lord. I know what you've called me to do. I know what you've called me to be. I know your plan for my life is for the goodness of God to be seen at every level of my life. You've got a throne of authority that you want to set up in my life, where you will rule and force everything to conform to your will. But Lord, I ask you to forgive me for getting in the way and standing in front of you, demanding what I want. Lord, I'm going to praise you like I never have before. I'm going to lift up your name like I've never lifted up your name before. I'm going to praise you from the mountaintop, from the valley, from the crooked ways, from every way that I can find, where I find my life. I'm going to be a praiser in Jesus' name. I'm going to lift up your name. And I thank you, Lord, that according to your promise, you're going to rest your throne upon the foundation of my praise. And you're going to rule. Your kingdom is going to rule. Your power is going to be displayed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say it with me. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord.
I have a testimony to
thank you, Jesus.
Give. But this knee surgery, I have never felt such pain, and it's been a long time. And even now, the medication makes me very emotional.
You realize he's not the best doctor. And so your doctor is his assistant. Okay, you got that? Okay. Father, we bring Bobby before. Let's lay hands. Father, we pray right now. Lord, you know the trauma, the stress, the issues, Lord, that have gone on in her life. Lord, we thank you that you are the awesome God who knows how to complete the recovery that Bobby needs in her knee. Father, we thank you has seen all of this before it ever happened. And Lord, you have brought the resources into Bobby's life to help her through this process. But Lord, we acknowledge that you are God and that you are Lord. And Jesus, you are the healer. So Father, we thank you right now that you're releasing your Holy Spirit touch, Lord, in Bobby's knee, freeing up, Lord, this scar tissue, breaking it loose, Lord, so that when she moves her leg, she'll have the freedom to do so without pain. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would complete the divine touch of recovery from her head to her feet, in her heart, her mind, her emotions, her knee, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, right now. We decree it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that our prayer is according to that one who has given us the name of Jesus. And Lord, there's no greater name. There's no greater name than that name. And we use it, Lord, in faith, believing that as we lay hands on her, Father, she recovers in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, look at somebody. Look at somebody, just tell them, you know, I'm glad I came this morning so I could hug you.